The Fishing Stone. Once there was a boy who lived in a little village not far from the sea. He lived alone in an old hut on the edge of the village. Because he had no parents, he had no name either. When the villagers talked about him, which was not very often, they called him the Fishing Boy, because that is what he did. Every morning he would get up before the sun and walk 2 miles to the river carrying a large, empty sack. 2 hours later he would come back to the village with a sack full of gleaming silver fish. These he traded with the villagers for everything he needed, bread and milk and clothes. Sometimes the men and women of the village would leave their work for a day and go fishing themselves. But when they fished, they brought home only a few of the smallest fish, nothing like the fishing boy's sackful of good, tasty fish. Nobody could understand it. "It must be his little magic," they said. And they were right. Everybody in the village had a little magic, all of their own. Some of them could light fires with a word, or sing songs to make the crops grow tall and strong. Some could tell what the weather would be like tomorrow, or what herbs would cure someone's sickness. But the boy's little magic was quite different, and he kept it a secret from everyone. His little magic was not a song or a word of power like everyone else's. His was a real thing, a thing he could hold in his hand, a beautiful jade-green stone, which dazzled his eyes when he let the sun play across its sharp edges. He called it the Fishing Stone. Every day when he went fishing, he took the Fishing Stone with him, wrapped in an old cloth and tucked inside his shirt. When he came to the river, the boy would find his favorite spot where the water was shaded from the sun by an overhanging tree. There, he would drop the Fishing Stone into the water and wait. He could see the dark green stone lying on the sandy bottom. He watched carefully, and he did not usually have to wait very long. Slowly, one by one, fish would come, small ones at first, then larger from the deeper waters. Soon there would be dozens in a circle round the Fishing Stone, all with their faces turned towards it, their mouths almost touching it. And they would take no notice as the boy simply picked them from the water one by one until he had a sackful. Then he would take out the Fishing Stone, dry it and wrap it carefully, and go back to the village with his bulging sack. The Fishing Stone brought the boy everything he needed, fresh fish for his evening meal and trade with the villagers, but it could not bring him a name or someone to talk to. The other children in the village would never play with him because he was different from them. He had no mother and father, and he had no name. He had always made a secret of the Fishing Stone, his little magic, because it was a thing and not a word or a song that only he could sing. He was frightened that someone bigger than he was might take it away from him. But because he would never tell them of his little magic, the people of the village were jealous and never spoke to him except to trade for his fish. The boy was often unhappy and always very lonely. One day, he went for a walk by the sea. He had the Fishing Stone with him, as usual, and as he stood on the beach, watching the waves run up the sand, he had an idea. "There are fish in the sea," he said to himself. "Many fish, far bigger than the ones in the river. If I could take a big, tasty sea fish back to the village, they'd speak to me and give me a name. I know they would." So he clambered out across the tumbled, seaweed-covered rocks and stood with the great waves foaming and battering just below him. "I mustn't drop the Fishing Stone in here," he thought. "I'd never be able to get it out again. I must just hold it in the water. That should be enough." He lay down carefully on the slippery rock and lowered the Fishing Stone into the sea. The water was cold and the waves were strong. He could feel them tugging, trying to get the stone away from him. tightened his grip, wincing as the sharp edges cut into his fingers, but determined not to let go. For a long time, nothing happened, except that his hand grew numb from the cold, and the salt in the seawater stung his cuts. At last, his patience was rewarded. He saw a big, dark shadow moving slowly towards him, far beneath the surface. As it swam nearer, the boy swallowed nervously. This was no fish that he could pick out of the water and carry home. It was enormous, far bigger than he was, far bigger than the biggest man in the village. And still it grew, looming larger and larger beneath him. The boy was trembling now, afraid of what he had done. But still he held the fishing stone in the sea, waiting. He wanted to know why this great and splendid fish had come to him. A cold, hard snout, which looked to the boy quite as large as the rock he was lying on, nudged once at his hand. Then the great head of the fish burst out of the water, and the boy found himself staring into an enormous, unblinking eye. For a second it hung there, motionless. And as it sank back beneath the waves, the boy knew what he must do. Clutching the fishing stone, he slipped into the water and onto the silvery back of the fish, clinging to one giant fin with his free hand. The fish paused, as if allowing the boy one final breath of fresh sea air, then dived deep into the oncoming waves. The boy held his breath for as long as he could, feeling the water rush past his face, but at last he had to let it go. To his surprise, he found he could breathe perfectly under the sea. He was certain now that it was magic that was taking him for this strange sea ride, his own little magic, the magic of the fishing stone. Deep, deep they swam together, the giant fish and the boy, leaving sunlight and sky far behind them. On the way, they passed shoals and schools and swarms of fish. And as they passed, each one turned to watch, respectfully, almost seeming to bow to them. Surely, the boy thought, this fish he was riding must be the greatest of all sea creatures, the king of the deep. He felt honored and strangely ashamed, remembering all the little fish he had caught for the village. They swam into the great dark deeps of the ocean, and at last, when the boy thought that he would never see anything but darkness and shadow again, a soft green light appeared below them on the seabed. As they came nearer, it divided into two great pillars of green stone, shining like candles in the water. The great fish swept majestically between them with the boy clinging to his back, and suddenly they were in a different world, a world filled with color and light and beauty. The fish took him into a vast cave, like an underwater temple. The walls, roof, and floor were covered with designs and mosaics in bright colors. Even the smallest fragment of stone or shell shone with its own clear light. The boy gaped at the dazzling, shifting patterns. The fish did not pause. It swam directly to the far end of the temple. Here, the boy could see shapes in the mosaics, all kinds of sea creatures set in a great circle. At the center was the image of a fish, picked out in all the colors of the rainbow. The boy felt certain that this must be the god of all those who live below the water. But looking closely, the boy could see something wrong. Where the eye of the fish should have been, there was nothing but a rough grey patch. Now the fish stopped, and the boy knew what to do. He swam forward slowly, till he could touch the mosaic and the raw place like a wound in the eye of the godfish. And there he laid the fishing stone. It fitted exactly. And as he drew his hand away, the stone shone suddenly, far brighter than the others, as though a fire blazed in its heart. The boy knew then that the god could see again, at last. And he was glad. As he turned away from the wall, he saw that the giant king of the deep had gone silently, content. But in the vast opening to the temple cave were two figures. He swam towards them. They were no fish, these two. They were a man and a woman, and yet they seemed quite at home in this kingdom of the fish. At home in a way that suddenly he longed to be. At last he joined them under the high arching cave mouth. The woman threw her arms round him and hugged him tightly, crying with joy. "Ansel," she wept. "Oh, Ansel, my son." And the boy, whose name was Ansel, laughed for the first time that he could remember. "Mother! Father!" he shouted, knowing that it was true. And as they led him away from the temple to his new home and his new life under the sea, he realized that he had been wrong all this time. The fishing stone was not his little magic after all. It was a great magic, the greatest of all magics, and it was only just beginning.